Greetings, saints. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for encouraging our faith today and helping us to endure the trials to make it perfect. We praise you and we thank you for it. We know you're going to do it, and we put our trust in you, Lord. Amen. So, okay, we're going to talk about your faith must be proven today. And I'm going to share with you some revelations that are very good. I would suggest that if you don't get everything as we go through it one time, listen to it again. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Well, first revelation, we're going to call it a global spirit of perverseness. Mm-hmm. This was given to Tiana Fire, 129:23. She said, I heard a demon speaking something really evil to my mind, and I was not in agreement with it, and I cast it down. Then I asked God why he allowed the demon to try me with this evil. I then heard the Lord say, this demon is giving many people around the world these same thoughts and feelings right now. And there will be more of this evil and wickedness poured out upon the world. Well, we can see many leftist, amoral people falling into very nasty lusts, just like their deep state overlords. She goes on to say, this evil is in the category of perverseness worse than transgender, etc., which is extremely perverted already. I will not mention what it is because it's extremely disgusting and evil. Then I had a vision of this particular evil being poured out upon the world. And these perverted demons were whispering in many people's ears and then entering the people in the world and taking over their mind and body. Well, these demons entered the people who had not cast down the thoughts and temptations as Tiana had done. And it was in the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, we know, as were the days of Lot, so it shall be. So we know that it's going to be the same today. Except it's not just one nation, it's all of them. I felt that most people will be tested and tempted by these demons. Each will be given the choice to give in to these demons, completely deserting their conscience, or to reject this evil and start following their conscience into more truth and separating from those in the world doing this evil. Well, God will ensure this operation. He is into this, right? I was reminded about Howard Pittman's testimony regarding the lowest demon in Satan's kingdom, an evil, disgusting frog, and how all the other demons were even disgusted by this perverted one. It's the lowest of the low, and I felt these demons I saw were like the same one Howard Pittman spoke about in his book. So I'm going to share a piece of his book, a piece of Demons, an Eyewitness Account, Chapter 8, The Frog, by Howard Pittman. From time to time, while on tour with the angels, I would notice some demons in such forms and shapes that they were unbelievable. Each time I noticed these demons, they were off to the side by themselves. As I was being shown all the other demons, I would see some of these odd-looking beings in many different places that we went. They seemed to display some sort of fear or distrust of all the other demons and were always off to themselves as if they were just lurking about or spying. And finally, my escorting angels brought me to a group of these odd-looking beings. They began to explain to me that this group was the untouchables of the second heaven, and it was the fifth group to be emphasized to me, so they ranked last in the order of command. They may be last in the second heaven, but I found out what an important part they have to play in our world today. This group of demons had the most despicable shapes and forms of any in the second heaven. In many cases, the forms of them were so repulsive that just to look upon them produced nausea. Some of their forms were so odd that they defy description. Others were so small in stature that they were almost overlooked. I was astounded to learn that these were the creatures who held all the expertise in the area of perversion. This group of untouchable, despicable, odd-looking spirit beings had been given the important assignment of destroying the morals of modern mankind. Of course, these demons do not work alone. They simply have the responsibility of making certain the job is done. The success of their undertaking is very evident as we look at the runaway worldwide immorality. While I was viewing this group, the angels told me that I was going to be permitted to see a human being actually being possessed by one of these demons. When we crossed through the dimension wall, we were in what appeared to be an employee lounge of some sort. In that room were two people, a young man and a young woman. The couple had no idea we were there and apparently thought they were completely alone. Standing between them was the most despicable looking of all creatures, of which they were totally unaware. It looked like an overgrown, stuffed green frog that was all out of shape. The man and the woman were talking and laughing as though they had just exchanged a joke. The demon, however, was between them and moving slowly towards the man's face. Its every movement was calculated, much as a cat's movement is calculated when he is stalking a little bird. The man could not see it and did not realize what was about to happen. When the demon reached the man's face, suddenly, like a puff of smoke, it disappeared into the man's face, appearing to have penetrated the pores of the skin. The angel said, "There, it is finished. He is possessed." As I was turned away from the two, the angel began to tell me about the sovereign will of man and how this demon made itself look beautiful and desirable to this individual. Well, that was its area of expertise, right? So the angel stated that this individual, by his own sovereign will, had openly invited this thing to enter. To the man, the demon looked so desirable and beautiful, but I got to see it for what it truly is, ugly, despicable, and nauseating. How long will mankind not believe? If only he could realize the truth of the Bible. How subtle, how cunning are the wiles of our adversary, the devil. Okay, that's a portion. Let's go back to Tiana's revelation here. I saw these demons spreading even more over the entire world, going everywhere. It was God's judgment, as in the days of Noah and Lot. Yeah. Luke 17:26-30 says, "And it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And after the same manner shall it be in a day that the Son of Man is revealed." Well, no doubt God is moving his people around to cause them to miss out on this judgment. We praise God for that. It goes on, I was reminded about the verse about the frog demons coming out of the mouths of the dragon and the beast in Revelation 16, 13 through 15. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits, as it were frogs. For they are spirits of demons working signs which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Let me say that the leadership of the kingdoms is totally infected with this stuff. And the deep state made sure of that in luring them into honey traps and so on and so forth. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Walking naked obviously represents open sinfulness or sinful acts, right? They see his shame. So then we got this revelation from Elena Timoshuk, 1:28-23. We call it Resist the Devil and He Will Flee. I felt like this dream lasted all night until the morning. It was so intense and real, and as soon as I woke up, I instantly started writing it down. It was so encouraging to me, so I decided to share it with the body. I dreamt I was sitting on a narrow paved road with my sister. Well, I believe that this represents the straight and narrow path that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. He went on, As we were sitting, a young black man was walking by. And as he was passing, he stopped and looked at me and said, I'm Satan. Do you need anything? I replied, no, I have joy. He studied me a bit and said, surely there's something you need. Aren't you cold? I responded, no, Christ's love keeps me warm. I was nervous as he watched me and could tell that he sensed my nervousness and discomfort, and I quickly grabbed my sister's hand and left. Well, we know that the enemy is always studying us to find our weaknesses. They have all the time in the world to do this and to create their strategies against us. The devil tempted Eve in the garden by asking her a question that put doubt into her mind, right? I went to my other sister's house and was hanging out there, and when we heard a knock at the door, my sister answered it, and the person talked really sweetly to her, and she excitedly allowed him in, introducing him as an acquaintance of hers. I was shocked. I noticed in my dream how at first I was with my sisters who are still in apostate Christianity. So they're obviously more capable of being infested with this stuff because the truth has not been told them. The apostates are always opening up doors to the devil because of their false doctrinal beliefs, and many don't understand that a Christian can be possessed. It was the same black man I saw earlier who called himself Satan, right? On the road that day, and I felt scared that he was after me and wanted to kill me. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He kept smiling at me as he made conversation with everyone and talked so smoothly and sweetly. I was so nervous and uncomfortable, so I went to my mom's house where my old room was in the basement. My mom's house also represents the apostate mother church. And while I was there, Satan was able to get very close to me, and, as we will see, he was very confident and a smooth talker. Well, Mom's house represents our natural inheritance passed down to us through our blood, too, you know, and the influence from our upbringing, which makes us victims to the devil and his demons. We all inherited the Adamic fallen nature, right? So it's true that Mother here represents the apostate church because they don't deliver people from the fallen nature. It looked a little different in the dream. It was a long, dark room, almost like a tunnel. Well, the old basement room represents a lower level of relationship with God under the earth, as in under the flesh, right? So when I walked in at the very end, I saw a desk, and the black man, Satan, was sitting there on his phone. I thought to myself, if I change my clothing quickly, I can get out before he's done talking. But as soon as I was almost fully undressed, I heard his phone hang up. I looked up, and he was right beside me, looking at me with an evil, lustful expression on his face. And I was terrified and felt paralyzed. Well, the devil, lusting after our nakedness, represents that he is pleased when our flesh is manifesting itself outwardly through sin. Because he knows he has an opportunity there, right? So this makes us his victims. Then it was like I passed out and went into another dream. There was an evil-looking man, Satan, and his skin was all red as if painted. He was doing perverted things to me and got a spray paint can and started painting my skin the same red color. Well, the devil always tries to condemn us for the things that he tempts us with, right? The red represents sin in Isaiah 1 and 18. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I was just about to give in and participate in his act of perversion, but it was like I got snatched out of it and woke up still in the first dream. Well, we should come out from among our mom's house and its influence to seek our inheritance of the blood of Jesus and his DNA, right? Hallelujah. The scene changed, and I was running to Fio and Lana's house. I ran to their house for shelter. They were the ones who introduced me to UBM and who the Lord used to bring me into the truth and out of apostate Christianity. I told them about this black man, Satan, and not to let him in, and that he wanted to kill me, and I knew that it was more than just a physical death. He wanted my soul. He tried getting into the house many times. He acted as if he was a troubled man and in need of help and compassion, so I felt no compassion for him. Satan had changed his tactic, trying to get me to feel sorry for him, and he seemed a little smaller and less confident. I still had some fear, though, because I was hiding behind Fio and Lana's locked door. Well, the devil so often uses pity to gain entrance into our lives through his vessels of dishonor. These vessels of dishonor, who have demons, often pull out the pity card, and when you open yourself up to them in this pity, they enter you. We must not pity the wicked because it opens doors for their spirits to enter into us. The faction used that, by the way, to gain entrance to people. They put pity parties on them. And then when they open up and sit down and listen to something they are commanded not to listen to, they get taken over. And then I saw a girl with dirty blonde hair with him. She felt sorry for him and would listen to him. And I saw him with his arm around her shoulders, whispering into her ear. Well, whispering, of course, is because these kind of things are not acceptable out there in public, right? Romans 16 and 18 says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent." She walked around with him with her head bowed down, allowing him to lead her everywhere he wanted to go. Well, this represents having our eyes on the earthly rather than the heavenly promises, right? I was worried about her, and I wanted to save her. I wanted her to know how evil he was and not to listen to what he was saying. I wanted to get her into Fio and Lana's house with me to protect her from him. Well, we must pray and intercede for those who have been taken captive by the wiles of the devil, right? God hears our prayers. The lock to Fio and Lana's house wasn't turned all the way, and the man walked in. We must make sure that the devil can't gain any access to our house because of areas of weakness. You know, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Stand your ground, speak faith, believe in the Lord. As soon as I saw him step in, I jumped up and ran at him and started punching him in the face. I didn't want to give him a chance to speak or react, so I just kept punching and punching until I saw blood dripping to the floor. I knew I subdued him enough that he wouldn't be able to move, so I pushed him back out of the door and locked it tightly. Well, this, I believe, represents spiritual warfare in that we are binding him with the commands of faith that we speak. Amen. And not letting him speak. Amen. Then I went into another dream again and was dreaming that Satan was trying to get me to go somewhere with him. And there were ugly women all around him saying unintelligible things. But I knew they were cursing me and praying for me to go with him and die. It was very loud. Well, the ugly women around Satan are the demons attempting to curse us with witchcraft thoughts that are contrary to the promises of God. I was all alone, surrounded by them, but this time I didn't feel afraid. I started praying in the Spirit, and fire and boldness rose up in me, and I proclaimed, "He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world." Amen. And another verse that I no longer remember, but I just kept proclaiming it louder and louder and was praising the name of Jesus until I no longer heard their voices, and when I walked past them, they couldn't touch me. You hear that? You know how the devil likes to pester you with voices, right? Just start praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for your victory. Amen. They can't stand before the name of Jesus, and praise bothers them too. Amen. So, then I woke up, still in my first dream, and was so excited. I shared the dream with Fio and Lana and told them that I had the victory, that Satan can no longer come near or touch me. I wasn't afraid anymore because I knew exactly how to defeat him, and that was with the name of Jesus. I was so excited. I wanted to share my testimony with everyone so that they too could know how to defeat him. Elena is doing just that by sharing this with all of the brethren. Amen. Then Fio and I were sitting outside in the grass, and I saw Satan in the distance, walking by with his head down, and I laughed. It wasn't until after this second dream I had inside this dream that I realized the power I had in Jesus and was free from all fear. Amen. I prayed for a verse that would be a confirmation of the dream and an encouragement, and my finger landed on the word Christ in Ephesians 1 and 17, in context 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, you know, when Paul prays a prayer like this, you can pray the same prayer. It's not unreasonable to pray a prayer when you see a precedent in the Bible. So having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, or the sanctified ones, right? And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might. All right. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. There you go. In Christ, you're far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in this world and in the demonic world, right? And every name that is named, not only in only which is to come, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So he's talking about his body, right? He's the head, but it goes all the way down to the feet, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. So you can notice here very clearly that Jesus put all principalities under the lowest members of his body, the feet. So that includes all of us. Okay, we call this Don't Wallow with the Pigs, number one. Winnie Asageda, 128:23. I dreamt that I saw a factious woman that we knew who was into witchcraft and slander, rolling around in mud outside of my mother's house. Well, the mother's house represents apostate Christianity. She was trying to lure Zoe, representing one who has God's life, that's what Zoe means, God's life, into rolling around with her, making it seem like it was fun. Mm-hmm. Satan always tries to tempt us through his vessels of dishonor to go back to our old sins. And in this case, it was probably slander and witchcraft. Okay. Then the factious woman entered my mother's house, and there were other people there as well. And she had mud all over her clothes, and her face was fully covered in the mud. Not one part of the skin on her face was visible. Well, folks, they're reprobated. 2 Timothy 3, 2-8 says, "For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness." So you know they're talking about so-called Christians here. "Holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And verse 8, "Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith." Yep. And it's a good thing they get so nasty, because if anybody's got any conscience, they recognize these people. Yeah. Well, the factious woman sat down on a chair and began to try to convince others to roll around in the mud as well. And that was the end of the dream. But she said after sharing this with Anna, the verse that came to her immediately was 2 Peter 2:22. 2:22 represents separation, right? And we'll use for context 20-22. For after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again. And here it is, the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. We got another one from a completely different person here. Don't wallow with the pigs, number 2, Tiana Fire, 130-23. I saw a pig rolling around in the mud, getting all dirty. I then saw a blonde-haired lady go into the mud and roll around with the pig in order to get the pig's attention and acceptance. See, a lot of people, they maybe have a problem with rejection, and so they want acceptance. So they listen to this garbage, and it goes into them. The spirit enters into them, and before they know it, they're in faction. Against somebody or whoever. Then she picked up the pig and walked out to clean the pig, but she too got extremely dirty. I felt that this is wrong. It represents the woman wanting to bring people to life in Christ. However, she goes and acts as the world does to get the lost and unsaved people's attention and acceptance. And unknowingly, she defiles herself. Yeah, 1 Peter 4:2-5 says that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles and to have walked in lasciviousness, lusts, wine-bibbings, revelings, carousings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think strange that you'd run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. I then saw again the pig rolling around in mud, getting all dirty, and the blonde-haired lady went over to the pig, this time not getting in the mud. But she got the pig's attention, and then she picked up the pig and brought it out and started cleaning it. In the process of cleaning it, she herself got a little mud on her hands and body. Well, Galatians 6:1 says, Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There you go. Many people try to stay and resurrect their dead church instead of coming out from among them, and they get lured right back into the same religious spirit. And that's a sad thing, but I've watched it happen over and over. They think, well, I'll stay in here. I'll fix this thing, you know. And although we help others spiritually and help them to overcome, we need to keep cleaning up ourselves and keep alert that no hidden spirit or sin or false doctrine gets on us. We are constantly being tested to see if we will keep or allow spots or blemishes. Jesus wants us to choose to wash all spots and blemishes off of us. Well, amen. I agree with that. wholeheartedly. And this one we call Don't Feed the Dogs. Marie Kelton, 126-23. In the dream, I was in a local UBM meeting. I had applied to work at a public school teaching kids. I got the job, but I started feeling like the Lord didn't want me to do that job, so I was trying to figure out a way to get out of it. Well, Galatians 1 and 6 says, "Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one." So although there are some who are spiritual enough to restore others without getting dirty themselves, the public schools generally have lower standards, and it's a little like getting in a pig pen. And I think that this also represents a lot of churches. They're more worldly than they are spiritual. If you go there, you're going to get some mud on you. There was a woman sitting next to me who also got a job teaching at a public school. I couldn't remember if it was a local sister or my biological little sister. But during the meeting, a white dog that resembled a factious man's dog that we know was eating a raw steak on the floor. Well, I believe raw meat has the blood in it, which was forbidden to be consumed in the Old Testament because it represents partaking of the life of the beast itself. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh. In this case, it's a beast, right? "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." So we need to sacrifice the old flesh, right? "For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life." So after he ate it, the dog then came over to me and licked the blood that was on my big right toe and then attacked me by latching on to my left arm. The works of the flesh are represented by the left arm. When we indulge the flesh, represented by the dog, we open ourselves up for attacks by the enemy. She went on to say, "I had a thought in the dream that you're supposed to kill a dog after it tastes blood because it will then crave it and start attacking people." Well, we must not feed our flesh or it will become stronger and overpower us. Amen? Feed the spiritual man so that he becomes stronger, right? I called over to David, but he was busy talking with or helping someone else, which didn't take long. Then David stood up and saw me with the dog clamped down on my left arm and said, "Hold on." And while walking over to me to help me, I then saw a brother and he was also fighting something, but I don't remember what. And I remembered that he had to get it into the bathtub in a bathroom that was in the hallway. Well, in order to fight our enemies, we must stay on the straight and narrow path and represented by the hallway, and we must clean up our thoughts by continuing to sanctify ourselves by the washing of the water with the word, represented by the bathtub. And then I woke up. Stay clean. Confess your sins every day. Confess your sins and then confess your Savior, right? Amen. The exam is almost over for the bride. And this was given to Claire Pinar, 121-23. I dreamed I was representing the bride at an examination center. I was part of a team being examined. Rion, her husband, said, "Exams are trials." Yes, we go through many testings and trials. We were a large team, and my children were included in the team. We all wore white. And Rion, representing the elect body of the bride, bearing fruit going through trials. Amen. So this is good. This is, means you're staying clean, right? We already knew how we do on the examinations, as we seem to know the books and the materials inside and out. Well, that's because, you know, we already accept the end result and we claim it as ours. So we know where we're going and we know we're going to make it. The devil has to shake you loose from this faith, right? So this examination and the team represent the bride who are tried and already know. Amen. They already know. They already know that they are accepted and they already are believing God for the end result. They already know by faith that they've overcome and have succeeded. But they boldly go through the trials and the race that is set before them. Well, Rion said, by faith we see the end from the beginning. Amen. There was a dark-haired woman, I believe representing an evil spirit, who came into the examination with a few men following behind her, and she was intent on destroying our success. Well, this is Jezebel, one of Satan's prime agents. First, she stole the examination sheets off the table and walked into another room, but I followed her and snatched the exams back from her. Well, notice, and you know, the Jezebel spirit, the men follow the Jezebel spirit, especially the Ahabs, okay? And so they, in this way, you can't obviously win on an examination, right? Not for the kingdom of God. Then she tried to distract people from staying in the exam hall. Again, I went to fetch them and told them to come back. And then she made a few doubt that they would succeed in the exam. At this point, I lost patience with this woman, and I walked up to her, and I told her to stop and to leave. I said, we've already won. This is a formality. You can't do anything to change the outcome. That's because they're holding on to their faith, right? She then got delirious with laughter and turned on me. She started making all kinds of remarks to me and about me, but I didn't hear any of them. That's the best thing. You just got to have thick skin, you know. The righteous, she said, must choose what they allow themselves to listen to. Well, amen. That's true. And Rion said, do not entertain Jezebel. She must be cast out. Absolutely. Then she called one of the men to bring her my citizenship certificate. It was in a light pink transparent folder, and she wanted to take it out of the folder and tear it up. And Rion said she hates that the elect hold true to their heavenly citizenship by holding true to the written word. Our citizenship is in heaven, quote unquote. Bound up in love from the Father. Amen. And that was represented, of course, that love is represented by that color pink, I believe. Also, Philippians 3 and 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have to act like citizens of the kingdom of God, right? That's when I became really intent on making her understand who's in control here. The Jezebel spirit wants to take control. That's what they do, you know. And they especially hate leadership, any decent leadership. They make war against them constantly. That's what they do. So she went on to say, in the dream, I was really angry. I know we're forbidden from personal anger, but we only know the fallen side of anger. But in this dream, the Lord wanted to reveal the proper modus operandi when dealing with demonic spirits. Yes, you are rough with demonic spirits. They have to know you mean it, right? And Rion said, Matthew 11 and 12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and men of violence take it by force. Who are we taking it from? Well, just think about it. You have the third heaven, the righteous kingdom. You got the second heaven, the unrighteous kingdom. And here you are on earth wanting to inherit those things of that first kingdom. And so you have to take it from the devil. You're taking it from the devil. You're saying no to the devil. So I walked up to her, put my hands over her throat to choke her. Well, this represents commanding the demons to be quiet, as Jesus did, right? And when she was fearful for not gaining air, I bound her hands so tight in mine that I felt her thin little bones crack under her skin. Well, this represents binding their acts. Your hand represents your acts, right? Such as throwing a person around or choking their host or whatever. You know, any kind of acts that demons like to do through people, we can bind them. I whispered in her ear, and she fell to her knees. I've done much worse to the ones, or the demons, who came before you. So now you leave, and you'll not dare touch my certificate ever again. I will destroy you if you come near me again. You disgust me. We must command them with authority. Amen. Well, this was a pretty intense moment for my dream self, but it is representative of intense spiritual warfare and not showing the enemy any mercy. Well, Rion said, the bride has plundered the enemy before and cast out many demons and taken much of the promised land by spiritual force or violence, and she will keep on doing it. She even put to death the old man through drowning. True. Yeah, drown them in the Word of God. So I've used this text on demons many times if they resisted me, telling them that I would send them to the pit if they did not obey me and come out. Luke 8:31 through 33 says, and they entreated him that he would not command them to depart into the abyss. Now there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they entreated him that he would give them leave to enter into them. And he gave them leave. And the demons came out from the man and entered into the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep into the lake and were drowned. Well, demons asked me once if they could enter into a dog when I was casting demons out of a man. And I looked around the room and I didn't see a dog in the room. So I said, no, enter into the nearest cockroach. But when I was leaving the room, I noticed in the next room was a little pet dog right on the other side of the wall of the room that I was in. Of course, the demon saw it. They wanted to enter the little dog and, of course, ruined the master's day. Then the scene changed, and all of us were white-clad and teammates, and we're in line to get our language portfolios checked. Our language portfolios? So Rion said, this represents a test to see if the elect will speak as oracles of God and agree with the written word. Remember that. When you're moaning and groaning and murmuring and complaining, do not speak to give the devil authority over you. Speak the word of God. The language arts of God, right? It seemed we'd passed the examination, and now our record of work regarding our language was checked. We might overcome trials, which is by grace, and we must confess the word. Confess means to speak the same as, and that is to speak the same as the word, or Jesus. And who is the word made flesh, right? So this is a language art, and deny the negative report. This is a language art. Only those with perfect scores could move on to the university. The professor said, "You know your entire folder is faultless." And she asked me to take my folder with me wherever I went, as it would be a benefit to those with me. At this point, I knew my teammates, and I had graduated from this institution and were ready for higher education. And then I woke up. Well, I received by faith at random for this dream, 1 Peter 1 and 5, with my finger on to be revealed. In context 5 through 9. Who by the power of God are guarded through faith. Notice that. You are guarded through faith. Amen. Unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So the manifestation of your salvation happens as you guard yourself through your faith. Wherein you greatly rejoice, so now, for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. So we are tested to see if we will endure in faith to see the manifestation of our salvation. And again, I say soteria, salvation, is very broad. It covers our circumstances, our life with God, our salvation from sin, on and on. It covers all these things. And the word sozo, saved, is used in all those different ways. It's the verb, right? Verse 7, that the proof of your faith, you have to have your faith proven, you see. It'll be proven by your actions. Faith without works is dead. So, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire. That's the fiery trial. You go through the fiery trial, you need to continue to confess your faith. May be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, where is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's in you. Our faith must be proven through the trial. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Whom not having seen, you love, and on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. See, you don't see what you're accepting by faith. You just have to keep on believing. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, right? You rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now we know that the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that is Christ in you. Your spirit empowers you to be able to follow Christ. And the Spirit of God in your spirit empowers you even more to be able to follow God. And as you follow Him, holding fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, you will see the salvation that God has promised to you. Otherwise, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and he tells us that, think not that this man will... receive anything from the Lord. Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give thanks unto you for your goodness to us. We ask you to continue to give us your gifts of faith. Lord, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We certainly can't pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we must endure in the faith and encourage our own faith by the word of God. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. So we let the word live in us when we reprogram our minds, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed into what? Into Christ in you, right? The spiritual man is Christ in you, and he is growing in you like a baby. And when he is born or birthed, then the world gets to see him. That's the manifestation through you to be seen by the world. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much that you have already accomplished this in the trial. We see the end from the beginning, and we thank you that it is done. We see Jesus in the mirror, and we don't live anymore. He lives in us. He lives through us. We have his attributes. We have his love. We have his patience. We have his power. We see Jesus in the mirror. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Thank you so much, Father, for teaching us this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints. God bless you and keep you. All right. Good night.